encouraging day. One of my favorite services is seeing the kids come up and do their service and so do their program. And so thank you for that. And so we celebrate this holiday. That's not just another holiday. This is a very special holy day. And our kids got to start it good. Just reminding us who this is about. Emmanuel, born unto us. Born with a purpose. And over the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the series, The Un-Christmas, and we saw a young lady called to do the uncomfortable, to trust God and obey God, and knowing her dreams would be turned upside down, but her blessing was much bigger than her dreams. Then we saw a young man called to do the unacceptable, to trust and obey God, to do what seemed dirty and would bring mocking from his friends. But he too was blessed in a huge way. And today we're going to see one that is sent to the undeserving. You know, as we think of a holy day, most of the songs that we'll hear during this season are about snow, snowman, and even romantic music. But we know this day is about something much bigger. We know it's about the peace Jesus Christ brings to those who place faith in him. It's a very special day that we celebrate here. So our songs are about his peace, the glory that comes with the angels from him, about the three wise men that seek him, about the manger where he humbled himself to come to us. And so when we meet here, we celebrate an awesome God who came to make an awesome payment. And if you'll open your Bibles with me to Isaiah 53, we know that Christmas, that first Christmas, there was not any pretty lights or decorations. There wasn't fancy meals or family time. The first Christmas was people acting in faith and in obedience to God, being used and being blessed. And we know that Christmas is an incredible day as we look at each one of these characters. But today we're going to look at the baby boy, if you will. That cute little boy. Because we know all newborns are cute, right? At least we lie, yes. When a baby's born, we hope for the best for that baby, don't we? We pray for his growth and his health, for his success, and that he would have a great life. But when Jesus was born, God had already declared what his life would look like. God had already told us what he would go through. As he was speaking to the people that he created for his glory, the Jewish nation, and as they were walking through sinfulness and living in sin, he promised a Messiah that would come. He promised the birth of a Savior. So 700 years before Jesus was born, God tells us what that little cute baby is going to go through. In Isaiah 53, verse 1, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us first, for being right here with us, Lord. I ask that you give me the words to say. And I thank you for the kids and the workers that prepared for us, Lord, that we could enjoy just the beginning of a Christmas time. To remember who you are, what you've done. Lord, I ask you to give me the words to say that we remember your sacrifice and that you offered yourself to us who are undeserving of your salvation. And Lord, I ask you to have your way into service today. In your name I pray. Amen. God's promise in this prophecy is about the life of the Messiah he was promising to send. The Messiah that he promised to send all the way from Genesis 3 that we talked about today in Sunday school. The Messiah that would crush the serpent's head, Satan's head. He would kill him ultimately. And the first thing we saw is most are not going to believe who Jesus is. Even though he grows up amongst them, before his father, and they saw his loving character. They heard his powerful teaching. They saw many great works and miracles of him. They enjoyed what he could give them and how he could heal them. But they would reject his person. They didn't want to accept who he was, that the promise of God has come unto us. And so most of them still refused to believe in him and to follow him. Then we see that he would live a hard life. He was rejected. He was not honored for who he is. As Philippians tells us, he humbled himself. And we think of the cross as the ultimate humbler. And that was the ultimate, but his whole life was humble. He put on flesh. He put it on his own creation. Remember, the birth of Jesus isn't the beginning of Jesus. The birth of Jesus is the incarnation of Jesus when he became flesh and dwelt amongst us, John 1 tells us. He humbled himself by putting on creation. And then what did he do? He come and lived in a big old beautiful castle? No. He humbled himself to be born in a stable, manger, a feeding trough, a dirty, stinky, poor person place, because there was no place for them in the inn. Nobody wanted to let them in. He'd live a hard life. He was kicked out of many towns, never honored for being the Lord. The religious would mock him multiple times in his life. They tried to kill him, even trying to stone him. But since it wasn't God's planned time, they couldn't kill him yet until he gave his life on that cross. But then we see that he was sent for the undeserving. He was sent to the undeserving. 700 years before this baby was born, we know what would happen to him. God had already told us in Isaiah what his life would look like. He told us the purpose of his birth. Most of us don't have babies. Kill them to save someone else. In today's day, we kill a lot of babies out of selfishness. We massacre them. Jesus was already alive, and he went with this plan that he laid down his life as a sacrifice. It was not suicide. It was not homicide. The one that controlled it was the one that wanted to give a sacrifice, and that's Jesus Christ. And God, 700 years before he even came to the manger, had said what his life would be like. We know what would happen to him. He didn't have a pretty candlelight service. Not a fun family reunion. He didn't even get to see that old uncle that nobody wants to visit with. He didn't have no family fights. It was not a pretty day. Not a great feast laid out before him. He was born to be punished for the undeserving. He was born to be punished for you and I. He'd be spit on. He'd be beaten. He'd be tried. They even tried to stone him, as I already said. He was mocked multiple times through his life. His hands and his feet were pierced with nails. His head was ripped open by thorns. His back was shredded, by whips and a cat of nine tails. He suffered for hours by his back being ripped back open as he tried to breathe on that wooden cross. The payment for each sinner should, that he was making a payment that you and I should make for ourselves, death. It was placed upon him. The wrath of God was cast on him for our sins. This was promised before he was ever in the manger. But the neat thing is, his suffering, his choice to be a sacrifice, heals the undeserving. Understand, a sinner does not deserve to be healed, does not deserve to be saved. But in his 33 years on earth, Jesus accomplished his purpose. Because you see in verse 5, check out verse 5, about the second half of it, it says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. You see who gets the benefit from his birth? Just a cute baby and a manger. His payment brings peace to the undeserving. Those who sinned against the holy God and deserved the wrath of God, he came for. Those not fulfilling the purpose of their creation, not reflecting God's character, he came to save them. Who does that include? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. That's you and I. Each one of us have broken God's law, have violated the purpose he created us to carry his image. And we deserve what Christ went through, but he went through it so that he could offer healing to those who place faith in him. Why? Because when he was killed, his death only lasted 3 days. The death means he was separated from the Father for 3 days. He died physically for 3 days. And then he arose, defeating death, giving eternal life to all who place faith in him. And that's why we like to claim the key verse of all Scripture. If you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You see the promise there? God sent his Son, that whosoever believes can have the everlasting life that we don't deserve because of the work that he took upon himself. Those who believe in him, believe doesn't just mean you claim his name. He says that you should love him. And if you love me, you obey my commandments, Jesus said. If you love him, he says you will follow me. You'll pick up, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and you'll follow me. That's believing Christ. And if you believe in him, he says you have eternal life. You'll be forgiven of your sins, no longer guilty before God. No longer under the wrath of God. Why? Because Jesus took it upon the cross. Now we've got a pretty cross on the wall that somebody buffed up, shined up, made it look nice. The cross of Jesus was ugly, thorny, stained. Big old chunk of wood. Why? Because that's what we deserve. Suffering. And yet, he took it for us. And this was prophesied before Jesus was ever born. If this was going to be your life, would you want to be born? Jesus said he wanted it. It pleased him to do this for the Father. This Christmas may not be very luxurious for him, but it was very powerful for us. That Jesus will be born so that he can forgive sinners, the undeserving. He was born so he can forgive you and I. It's the reason that just before the birth of Jesus, the angel came to Joseph, as we talked about last week, and he declared in Matthew 1:21, And she, speaking of Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The angel tells Joseph, listen, this baby that's about to be born is from God, and his name isn't going to be following your name. His name will be according to what he's here to fulfill. His name will be will declare who he is, because Jesus means Savior. And his purpose in Matthew 1:21 says to save his people from their sins. Jesus wants to save you from your sins by your faith in him. But that same angel continues speaking to Joseph, and he says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. How does this baby accomplish this? How does this baby bring salvation to the world? It's because God put on flesh and dwelt amongst us. This baby is God himself humbling himself to come and save his creation. He showed us his love in his suffering. He showed how much he loves the undeserving by the way he stretched out his arms and suffered for you and for me, so that we can be saved, so we can have eternal life with him. Because of who he is the reason that John the Baptist, as he was out preaching and baptizing, when he saw Jesus passing by, he declared, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the sacrifice from God. He comes to take away the sin of the world. Jesus came to offer us what we don't deserve. And John the Baptist said, there he is. There's the promise God gave to us through Isaiah 700 years ago. He's here. Salvation. See, Jesus is the prophesied Messiah that God has promised all the way from the beginning, all the way from Genesis 3. And then he came and did the work. He shed his holy blood. You with me? He shed his holy, his perfect, his innocent blood who'd never deserved death. But he gave his life so that we sinners, we the undeserving, can be saved. And to accept his work. To accept his payment. To be saved from your sins. To be what the scripture calls justified. That means to be made right. To be made perfect. To be made holy. All he requires from you is what he tells us in Romans 10:9. Listen to this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What does he require? Because that you confess with your mouth that you need a Savior, and that you believe in your heart in who he is. And when you believe in your heart, it changes your life. It transforms you. And if you've ever placed faith in him, and in Romans 13, he says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's when you come to that realization, and you can confess with your mouth because you believe in your heart. And now you call out to him for salvation. And if you've done that, you should know the value of Christmas and be willing to declare the Savior with your mouth and with your life. But if you've never called upon his name for salvation, know this, it's a free gift. He's not going to count your sins and tell you, oh no, this one was too bad. Why? Because his blood is more powerful than anything you've ever done. He can bring salvation and pardon to you and forgive you. And if you've never done it, I'd love to show you in God's word how he promises that you can have salvation. He just calls you to faith and repentance, to turn to him. And I'd love to show you after service how you can be saved. And as we celebrate Christmas, let's remember that Jesus is the only one we celebrate. He's the one our focus should be on. The other one's going to be fun. But Jesus is the center of our glory. He didn't come for fun and gifts and food and decorations. He came to suffer, to show love to you and I, the undeserving, to offer salvation to all who believe, to offer salvation to those who place faith in Him. Because of our faith in Him, because of His love, we should declare Him to the world. Let us remember that when this baby came into the world, he came into a dark place. Not a fun little celebration. He came into a dark place. A nightmare for anyone to have a baby. A nightmare of a place to start growing up, being raised. But he did it because he had a plan. His plan was to bring salvation to you and I. To make a payment for your sin. And for that reason, you with me? We celebrate Jesus. For that reason, we go out from this building and we go tell the world of an awesome God who sent the payment to this world. So as we celebrate today, as we celebrate again Wednesday night, as you celebrate with your family on Thursday, let us remember that the reason we're celebrating isn't the gifts under the tree, isn't the good meal Mama just made. It's because the Savior has come so that I can have peace with God. And if you've never placed faith in Him, never called on His name for salvation, please don't be shy. I'd love to show you in God's Word how you can be saved. But you must take the step of faith and ask, how do I become saved? How can I be cleansed of my sin? And once you do that, we walk out of here. And we walk out these doors with a duty. Knowing how awesome God's job was, how awesome the work of Jesus was, that we're willing to walk out these doors and go what? Tell it where? Tell it on the mountain. Would you stand with me? Kids, will you come up to the stage? Kids, come back up to the stage. Lead us in this last song, if you will. Because you won't sing by yourself. You don't have to have been in the choir thingy. If kids, you want to come up and sing, you go ahead. But sing this loud as we finish up today.